Hebrews chapter 1, amen, verse 1. The Bible said, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word, and we ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you, for it is in Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, hey, you're beautiful, and I am glad to see you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning on a message that I really feel like God laid on my heart to preach this morning. I don't know if y'all understand this. There was a time in my ministry when I had my 14 red hots. That's where I got me 14 sermons, and I burned them in my brain and I preached them. I run into a problem back in the early part of my ministry, and it's sometimes, like most of the times, you went more than 1 week. Well, I run out of sermons, so I'd have to start digging for some new stuff. Now, I've always been the type of person to perfect things, so I made a second set. When I went a second week, I just grabbed a second set, kept going. Nobody noticed the difference. When I went in the area where I'd been before, I simply changed sets. Nobody catch me preaching the same sermon. Well, y'all look at me like that for? You think other guys wasn't doing it? Or you think taught me? I came to a place where I got so good at it, I didn't even have to work at it. I mean, I could do all kind of stuff and just pray a little bit and run up there and preach. And there was one guy made the statement one time, and I heard him from around the corner. He said, that's a preaching machine. And it clicked, because suddenly I realized that's exactly what I was. I was a machine. All you had to do was set the timer, turn me loose, and y'all to love me back in. 20 minutes was limit. I didn't even have to have a cert. It was just that pat. 20 minutes I was through. And all of a sudden one night I prayed through and decided I'd start letting God talk to me about my sermons. And I really believe God gave me a message, or talked to me about a message that I'm going to preach to you this morning. I'm going to talk to you for just a little bit about God's fivefold message to you. I believe God sent this to somebody in the service this morning. You know, when I got saved, I'll never forget, I used to sit around, you know, I'm a dumb old country boy. I said, dumb, and I got saved. You could start joking me about Moses and the ark, and I thought you knew what you was talking about. I didn't know no different. Moses had the ark, and he'd done all kind of things. Amen. Oh, church, smile at me. Some of y'all might not have been that ignorant in the Word of God, but you could tell me about the book of Hezekiah, and I'd look for it. Couldn't find it. I thought I had the wrong Bible. You know, I mean, I was bad off. And for that reason, I asked myself a question continually. God, what could you ever want with my life? I mean, let's face it. What profit was God going to get out of me? Dumb old country boy, didn't know the scripture, didn't know what he was going to do. I began to look through the Word of God, and there's some things in there that God really wants us to have. First of all, God wants us to have a pardoned life. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Acts 16:31, the Bible said, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now, I like that, church. I don't know why we leave that last part out, but notice what he said. Not only is he going to save you, but he'll give you your family if you'll pray hard enough. Come on, church. Amen. And so we need to get back to hanging on to that scripture and say, wait a minute, God, I got scripture that says you're going to give me my house, and I'm going to hang on to it and pray for my house. Notice this. In Romans 10:9 said, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. So you see, God has done everything to help us get pardoned from the sin of our past. It is a very simple process. If we believe that Jesus Christ died for us, amen, and we ask that forgiveness, then we are forgiven. It's that simple. There's no sign to it. It's a very simple process, because God wanted man to have the ability to come to him. Amen. I read in 1 John 1:9, simply said, if I will confess my sins, he is a just God, able to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Meaning that if I say, God, I'm sorry and I need you to forgive me, then my sins are gone and I am pardoned by the blood of Jesus Christ. Could you say amen? Praise God. But now, not only does God want me to have a pardoned life, God wants me to have a powerful life. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? God don't like wimp Christians that walk around, oh, the devil's gonna wear me out. It's time some of you got off that milk you've been drinking, get you some meat, you know, get you up some muscle, and look the devil in the eye and say, I command you to get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And take the authority of God and stand up and say, wait a minute, I may not be nothing, but he that is in me and who I belong to has all power which is in heaven and in earth, and in him I am a powerful entity in Christ. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, do you believe that? I read the book of Acts 1 and 8. It says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses of me into Judea, Samaria, and to Jerusalem, to the uttermost part of the world. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? When we get the Spirit of God in our lives, we become powerful entities. Amen. John 20, 22 said that when he said this to them, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. It is God's joy for his people to breathe in the breath of life, the Spirit of God in us, so that we can have power and authority in this world. Ephesians 5 and 18. And he said, be not drunk on wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In Galatians 5 and 6 said this, say he, walk in the Spirit and you have power to overcome the world. You say, why is that? He said, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What are you talking about? God wants powerful entities in his people. Number three, God wants us to have a purposeful life. Hello? Y'all may not understand this, but God doesn't like unpurposeful people. Hello? Say, preacher, what are you talking about? First of all, God wants us to have a life of service. When we get saved, we don't just get saved so God can bless us. You know, that's one of the most ridiculous sayings I've ever heard in my life. God saved me so he just pour out his blessings on me. What are you going to ever get down here that's greater than what you'd have over there? If all God was worried about blessing you, as soon as you prayed through, he'd kill you dead as a door and they'll take you on to glory. Well, you ain't going to have no more problems, no more troubles, no more trials, no more worries. I don't know about y'all, but they can't give me nothing down here going to replace all that. Come on, church. Well, why'd he leave me? Because he needs light in a darkened world to tell the world about him. And that's why Joshua made the statement when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when God saved me, he saved me to be of service to him. But not only that, he also wants me to have a life that seeks the kingdom of God. Amen. Church, we got preachers telling us to pray for money. He got them praying for all kind of gifts. But you know what Jesus said? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will then be added unto you. If I get my mind focused on God, I don't have to worry about my money. I get my mind focused on God, I don't have to worry about my health. I get my mind focused on God, I don't have to worry about tomorrow or the next day, because my God is going to take care of it. If I seek him first and put him first in my life, everything else is going to come together the way God wants it to. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. But now there's another part of being purposeful. You also got to seek the will of God. Somebody said, what are you talking about? God has a specific will for everybody in this building. And you know what's really sad is most of us are pretty self-willed. And you know, let's face it, Jesus was. He prayed in the garden all night, finally broke down and said, not my will, but thy will be done. But now notice what he had said even before that. In John chapter 4, verse 34, he said, my meat, my substance, my entire reason of being is to do the will of the Father and to finish the work which he has started in me. And church, if we can ever become submissive to the will of God, we can become purposeful for the kingdom of God. Could you say amen? But he also wants us to have a life that is worshipful in lifestyle. John 4, 24 said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Can I tell you, church, you're going to pass people this week that I'll never meet in my lifetime. They may never run into a preacher anywhere, but they're going to watch you. And the life you live can make a difference in their life. You could have some influence in them by the life you live that would make them want to change what they're doing and find a God that can change them completely. And that's what living for God and a worshipful lifestyle is all about. It's when we live in that life where people see Jesus Christ reflected in us, and we can say like Paul, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life I live because of him, in him, and by him, and because of that I want to influence everybody I come in contact with. But now notice this, God also wants us to have a life that is knowledgeable of the word and of Jesus. Philippians 3, 10, 11, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto death. if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Amen. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I've done everything I've done because I just want to know him. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, church. I am not here because the overseer sent me here. I'm not here because I didn't have nothing else to do. I am here because I want to know him. That's the reason I'm here. I felt like this was where God said, if you'll go, you'll know me better than you knew me anywhere else. And I don't know about y'all, but I showed up to know him, and I get to know y'all all together with it, and it just makes it that much better. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Smile at me. Amen. But now notice this. If somebody fixed the cringe a little bit, but if you're going to have a purposeful lifestyle, you also got to have a life of a clean thought pattern. You can't sit around and concentrate on garbage and expect God to accept you. Hello? Ain't none of you ladies gonna cook buzzards for Thanksgiving, are you? You know, buzzards and turkeys are the same family. But the minute I mention buzzards, you're going, my God, what do they eat? Yet you'll ingest junk all week long, run in here on Sunday morning and expect God to accept you as a sweet-smelling sacrifice when all you put in your brain is garbage. Amen. And I hear the word tell us in the New Testament, in the book of Philippians, said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue in them, think on these things. Amen. What did he say? He said, get your mind on them. And what's going to happen if you get your mind stayed on God? He said, he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Now, y'all need to buckle your seatbelts, because you're going to have a purposeful life. You're not going to have just a clean thought pattern, but you're going to have a life of clean speech. Now, I know there ain't nobody in Alabaster like this, but when I lived in Buell, we had certain people that everybody knew. If you wanted everybody in Buell to know something, you call them and tell them and say, don't tell anybody. That was the key words. If you said, don't tell anybody, they told everybody. They believed it was a reversal of polarity, like north and south. If you said, don't tell, that meant tell everybody. Hello? I know there ain't nobody like that around here. Some of you are going to figure this out when I come to you and say, don't tell nobody. You'll know you my phone booth. Lord. Smile. You say, preacher, can you give me scripture for this? Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good and use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. You know what Paul actually said? He said, if you ain't got something good to say, be quiet. Glory. But not only that, church, God wants us to have a productive life. My Lord. Now, I'm not going to read all the fifth chapter of Matthew, but if you want to read it, Matthew 5:3-14, he goes through the Beatitudes, and he talks about blessed is the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are they that are meek. He goes through all those things you're supposed to do, but you know how he ends up? He said, but now rejoice, as ye exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for is so persecuted they the prophets which were before you, but ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? And it's thenceforth good for nothing, but be cast out and to be trodden underfoot. But ye are the light of the world, a city that cannot be hidden. You know what he said? He said, if you'll do the things that make you blessed, and you live the kind of life where the people call you blessed, then you will become productive for the kingdom of God. You'll become salt to them. You'll become light to them. You'll become useful for God in his kingdom. Could you say amen? Whew. Well, that's good stuff. But you know, church, I'm standing here and I'm not so naive to figure out every one of y'all could have figured all this out with your Bible if you just sat down and thought about it. It took me a little while to put this together, but you could have thought about it because it's right there in Scripture. But I got to thinking and I said, God, what would you say to us as individuals today if you spoke to each one of us individually and just wanted to send a message to your church today? First of all, I think God would say, I know who you are. Hello? Now that may not mean nothing to you, but I like the fact that God knows who I am. I don't have to get up and have to have an introduction. I don't have to give a pictured ID. I mean, he knows me from everybody. He can pull me right out of the crystal. Well, how does he know you? In Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. What it's talking about, God's made me in his own image. Therefore, when he looks in the mirror, he sees every one of us individually. He knows who we are. Amen. You say, preacher, you're crazy. Amen. He's also made the statement that he crowned him with glory and honor and gave him dominion over the works of his hand. It's found in the book of Psalms. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou didst make him have dominion over the works of the hand that has put all things under his feet. Amen. God also tells us that I know you, and because he knows us, it makes us more valuable than the natural creation. Matthew 10, but the very hair of your head of all is numbered. Fear ye not, therefore ye are more valuable than my sparrows. But I'm also more than the world. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? 1 Peter 1 tells me I'm so important that God was willing to give his own son. For so much as ye know that ye were not redeemed by the corruptible things of silver and gold, or the vain conversations received by the traditions of your father, but the precious blood of Christ, hallelujah, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Do you understand that what God says is that God knows who we are, and because he knows who we are, we know the value of who we are? Could you say amen? Well, preacher, does God really know who I am? Jeremiah 1 and 5 said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, what he said was, he said, basically, before you were, I knew who you were. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but I like that. Amen. Listen to what Isaiah said. Isaiah tells us, chapter 49, before I formed thee, he said, can a woman forget her sucking child? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb. Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee, because I have graven thy name in the very palm of my hand, and thy cries, thy prayers, thy desires are before me day and night. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Your mama might forget you, but God said, I'm never going to forget you, and I'm never going to let you go, because I know who you are. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. You say, well, preacher, what does somebody knowing you have anything to do with anything? First of all, because somebody knows who I am, it lifts me up in the statutes of others. Y'all may not believe this, but I've been in this world when I was with certain people, and I became somebody because of who I was with. Y'all ain't never had that happen, have you? I remember I was in Cleveland one time, sitting at the table eating with a general overseer of the Church of God, and folks that I knew me that hadn't talked to me in months walked by and said, hey, Brother Ken, how you doing? Now, it wasn't that they suddenly realized who I was. They saw who was at that table and wanted to make sure they knew that. Come on, church. I'm at a golf tournament. Ain't nobody knows who I am till they see me talking to a guy. Next thing you know, they're coming up. You're that preacher, aren't you? I'm going, well, I am a preacher. I don't know if I'm that one. And they say, oh, by the way, who is this? Like, they didn't know who the guy was standing beside me, and he is a personality in Alabama on the radio every morning. He's been on TV. He's been in television, been on the newspaper. And they want to tell me they didn't know who this guy was standing with me. The whole reason they figured out who I was because they wanted to talk to the guy I was standing with. Hello? See, some of y'all going, who was it? Now, your business. But because I was with somebody and somebody knew me, that made me somebody in the eyes of some other people. But now it also lifts me up in the thoughts of myself. I don't know about y'all, but I get to think I'm somebody when I think about the fact that God knows who I am. I don't know about y'all, but that means I'm somebody. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you ain't nothing. I understand that, but because God knows who I am, I got a right to believe I got it made. Come on, church. Hallelujah. But it also lifts you up in your confidence of who you are. I want to tell you something, church, because I know God knows who I am. I got it made in this world because I understand if he knows who I am, I'm connected to him. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Now, number two, I believe God would say to you this morning, and if y'all ain't noticed, I'm trying to hurry. I don't keep you here all day, just most of it. I know how you are getting along. I don't know, y'all. May not be impressed with that, but I love the idea that the God that owns all the universe is mindful of me. Lord. Wonder what David said? David said, thou art mindful of me. I mean, he knows what's going on in your life, but can you imagine there's 6.5-7 billion people in this world, but yet he can keep up with every one of us individually, and he knows how we're getting along. Lord. Oh, preacher, what are you talking about? He knows when your checkbook's broke and you ain't telling nobody else. Come on, church, nod your head. Y'all ain't like that, but some of us, when our checkbook's broke, we ain't telling nobody. Some of y'all need to smile at me. Y'all like, my God, he's hitting me. Well, I don't know who I'm hitting the way some of y'all looking. Glory. God knows when we're hurting in the midnight hour and our heart's breaking and we're worried like we ain't gonna make it through the next day, because God really knows how we're getting along. He knows better than we do how we're getting along sometimes. And he knows when our heart's broken. He knows when we've been crying, and he knows what's going on in our life. And because God knows how we're getting along, there's some things we can put our hand on and understand that God is gonna be a part of it. Amen. Romans 8:28, for we know all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Because God knows how I'm getting along, I understand that if I'll just hang on, sooner or later everything's coming full circle, and it may not be all right now, but down the road it's going to be all right, because God knows how I'm getting along. Well, preacher, you believe that? He'll make rivers of water in the dry land. Man, if I'm in a desert, he'll cut me a river so I'll have water. That's the kind of God you serve, and I serve. And God's trying to tell somebody this morning, I know who you are, but I also know how you're getting along. And because God knows how you're getting along, you can understand this. Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth in our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for we as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Y'all have heard me make this statement, but God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't. And if I'm praying and get lost in the Spirit, he can pray through me about stuff I ain't never going to be able to pray about. And church, every once in a while, we need to get lost in God and say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm standing still. I've done all I know how to do, and I'm waiting to see the salvation of God. And you, God, are the only one that can make it happen. Oh. And not only that, I can understand this. Romans 8:35. Who will separate me from the love of Christ? Is it tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Amen. He said, nay, in all these I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ my Lord. I can understand, ain't nothing going to take me out of his hand long as I hang on. God's going to keep a hold of me. Hallelujah. I also understand this. Philippians 1:6. Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If I know God knows how I'm getting along, then I understand that whatever he started in me, he'll finish it. Glory. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6:12. It said that ye may be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know what he said? He said, because I know how you're getting along, if you just be patient, you'll inherit the promises of God. Hallelujah. And everything's going to be all right. Amen. Now, church, this is a little tricky, but some of you need to understand this. See, some of y'all live a life where you're what I call Christopher Columbus Christians. You ain't got a clue where you're going. You don't know where you're at when you get there, and you couldn't tell nobody where you've been when you got back. Just every once in a while you accomplish something and you think you're wonderful. Come on, church, don't look at me like that. Christopher Columbus didn't have a clue where he was going. He thought he actually went to India. That's why he called the people in the Caribbean Indians. He got back to Spain, told him he found a way to the east. He hadn't. He found a whole new world, never even knew it. Some of you still mad because I said you ain't got a clue what you're doing. Glory. You forget I've been here long enough. I figured some of you out. But I believe God would say to you today, I got a plan for your life. Well, God ain't called me to preach. Y'all may not believe this, but God doesn't call everybody to be preachers. God don't call everybody to be teachers. God don't call everybody to sing. I don't care if anybody gets up here and says God called them to sing and they can't sing. God didn't call them to sing. Hello? Because my Bible said whoever God calls, he qualifies. That means he called you to do it. Somehow you'll be able to do it. Hello? But now notice something. God has a specific plan for everybody in this building. Have you not ever noticed the church is considered the body of Christ? You ever know your body has a bunch of parts, but they all fitly work together to make the body function? I mean, your body ain't no good without a heart. It's really messed up without a brain. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And some of you figured out what that meant. Come on, church. Every part has to function together to make the body operate. If this foot goes left and that foot goes right, I'm in trouble if I'm trying to go straight. But the body all functions, and each part has its position, each part has its function, and because of that, the body then functions like a well-oiled machine to do what we needed to do. And when something gets out of rhythm or out of whack, we have to go get it fixed. Well, you see, God put everybody here. You may not be called to be a preacher or a singer or a teacher, but you could be a prayer warrior. Amen. And let me tell you something, church. There is nothing wrong with God calling you to be a prayer warrior. And I know some of you sitting there saying, wait a minute, preacher. Everybody can pray, but there's some folks. If you've been around long enough, you're going to run into one of them that has got an anointing to pray. It's the most aggravating thing I ever run into in my life. Go to a prayer meeting and die over there for 15 minutes trying to come up with stuff, and this dude's over like he got a tape player running in his brain. Hello? See, some of y'all ain't never been to a prayer meeting and had that happen. I was over in Georgia, and this guy come in, and we'd have a prayer meeting every morning at 5:30 during the revival, and it was bad enough me be up at 5:30, much less praying. My brain wasn't functioning good. And I'm over there and I've done 15 minutes. I've made up stuff I'm wanting to pray about. I mean, I've done gone through things twice for emphasis. And this dude's over there and it's like water going over Niagara Falls. He said, blah, 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 blah. I just turned around and sat down. Preacher said, you gonna quit praying? I said, no, I'm just agreeing with him. He's doing a lot better than I was. Oh. But we find where God wants us. Let me tell you something, church. The chances of you being you is 1 in 350,000 million to 1. That come out of biology book. Y'all want to tell them they're wrong, we'll call them. I'll take their word for it. You know what that basically means? You're not you by accident. You didn't accidentally get here. There ain't never been anybody born in this world was an accident. Y'all heard, well, that's illegitimate child. Ain't no such thing. I've studied biology. If there's a kid born, there's a mama and there's a daddy. Ain't nothing illegitimate about that, except the parents. Come on, church. Don't get quiet on me. We got illegitimate parents. Ain't no such thing as an illegitimate child. That child wasn't here. He's here. You were fearfully and wonderfully made, formed by God with a purpose. And everybody, if they'll sell out to God, he's got a plan you'll fit into where you can do something in the kingdom of God. But now notice this. The plan is personal. Ain't nobody else going to be able to do it but you. It's just like your blessings. Can't nobody get them but you. Come on, church. That's also private. Somebody said, what are you talking about, preacher? Private. I was running a revival one time. The pastor pulled me off the side, and he said, shit, go over in the red coat. I said, yeah. He said, God called him to preach. I said, well, that's great. When did he tell you? He said, he ain't told me yet. He don't know it. He said, I've tried to tell him. He won't listen to me. He said, you go tell him. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you're his pastor, and he won't accept spiritual advice from you? There's a problem somewhere here. I finally turned around. I said, you know what you want to happen is biblical. But I ain't no mule. You might be one, but I'm not going over and telling him. If you feel like a mule, go ahead. Church, if God called that guy to preach and he can't tell him on his own, he ain't never going to get a message unless somebody else tells him what it is. Oh, come on, church. Smile at me. So you got to understand it's private. It's and it's also takes patience. Let me tell you something, church. You getting the plan of God for your life, it's going to make you the happiest person that ever walked on the face of this earth. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. You ever notice people that are just like they're angry at everybody about everything? It's because they're somewhere they don't really want to be doing something they don't want to do. And they messed up in something they're trying to get away from. But if you ever get in the center of God's plan where you know that you know that you know you're in the will of God doing what God wants you to do, ain't nobody going to rain on your sunshine. It don't matter how dark it gets, you still going to be happy because you know you are where God wants you to be. Could you say amen? Glory. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not. My watch still says it's not 12. I can tell by y'all it is. I can read y'all better than I can a clock. I'm hurrying. Number four, I think God would say to you this morning, watch out for the devil. Preacher, what do you mean, watch out for the devil? Contrary to some modern day theologians, there is a devil out there. It's not the figment of preachers' imaginations. We didn't make him up to get you to pay your tithes and come to church. There is an entity out there that was cast down out of heaven because he rebelled against God, and now on this earth he's doing everything he can to take every person in this world to hell. And believe me, God had no intention of any human being ever going there. He said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. He's just so jealous, he wants you to go with him. And the thing about it is, he's out there trying to tear us down and trying to take us apart. Listen, 2 Corinthians 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In Ephesians, it said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Church, I've not got a battle with anybody in this church. I've got a battle with a devil that tries to tear down everything God's trying to do. And for that reason, I got to understand it's a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. And if I keep it in the spiritual realm, I can be a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Could you say amen? See, he said this in Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Church, you got to understand, get this picture. It's not a bunch of sheep with one wolf. It's a bunch of wolves with one sheep. Your only hope, my only hope, is God. Hello? And through him, I'm going to be a conqueror. Last but not least, I believe God would say to you this morning, and it just block everything else I said out for a moment, because this is important. Because if somebody here needs to hear this, God would say to you right now, I love you. With all of his heart, with all of his being, God loves us. His entire essence is love. And he loves us so much that he wants to bless us. He wants to touch us. He wants to be with us. He wants to care for us. Sometimes we have a hard time loving God. I was reading a book by Anthony Campolo one time, and he was in Europe riding around on a train. And if you understand Europe, that's the quickest way to get around over there is trains. He was in a car with two men, and one of the men went into epileptic seizure. The other guy grabbed him and hugged him and pulled him to him and pulled his tongue out, wrapped him in a quilt and held him while that man was going through that seizure till he settled down and went to sleep. And then he got up and laid him, put a pillow under his head, went and washed his hands. He'd come back over and asked Dr. Campolo if he could sit with him. And he said, yeah, sure. He said, wow. He said, is this your brother or something? He said, oh, no, just a friend. He said, and you would take care of a friend like that? He said, you need to understand. We were in Vietnam together. I was wounded, and this man put me on his shoulder to carry me out of the jungle. On the way out, a bomb went off close by, and the shrapnel from that bomb in his head is what causes those seizures he's having. And he said, I went back to America, and Liv, my wife, had passed away, and I thought one day I'd try to find this man to see if he was still alive, to thank him for carrying me out of that jungle so that I wouldn't be left to the enemy or killed. And he said, I found out the plight he had of this continual seizures and trying to find somebody who would take the chance to remove that from my brain. And he said, I made it my life's purpose to come and be with him. And just as he carried me out of the jungle, I'm going to be with him till he finds a doctor that can get this out of his head or until he passes away, because he wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. And after I thought about what he'd done for me, what less could I give him? But all that I am, all that I'm ever going to be. And I want to be honest with you, church. When I think about what God has done for me, about the price he paid to bring me out and set me free, what less could I do than give him my all and love him with everything that is in me? You say, preacher, that's great. But I want to tell you something, church. There is a God that loves you this morning so much that he cares about you. Would you stand with me all over the house? I want to share something with you this morning. It's a little letter I got. I was having one of my pity moments. I've been laid up for several months with a busted knee. This came in the mail. I don't know that I ever found out who sent it to me, but I just wanted to share it with you this morning in closing. Dear friend, I just had to send you a note to tell you how much I love you. How much I care for you. I saw you yesterday as you were walking with your friends, and I waited all day hoping you'd want to talk with me also. But evening drew near, and I gave you a sunset to close your day and a cool breeze to rest you. I waited, but you never called. It hurt me. I still love you because you're my friend. I saw you fall asleep last night, and I longed to touch your brow. So I spilled moonlight on your face, and again I waited, wanting to rush down to you so I could talk to you. I have so many gifts I want to give you. But you awakened late and rushed away, and my tears had to fall in the rain. Today you look so sad, so all alone. It makes my heart ache because I know how you feel. See, my friends have let me down too, and I've been hurt many times too, but I love you. I try to trail you in the blue sky and the quiet green grass. I whisper it in the leaves on the trees. I breathe it in the color of the flowers and even shout it to you in the mountain streams. And I give the birds songs to sing to you. I clothe you in warm sunshine and perfume you with nature's best scents. My love for you is deeper than the ocean and bigger than the greatest want or need. If you only knew how much I want to help you. I want you to meet my father because he wants to help you too. Just call me. Ask me. Talk to me. I have so much to share with you. So many things I want to give you. But I'll not hassle you. I'll wait. Because I love you. Because I care. It's signed, your friend Jesus. Everything God has ever done in this world, with a voice that shatters the eternities, he said, I love you. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning, God, for your word. Master, you said it's not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, I commend this congregation into your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. The Spirit of God's moving through this building right now, and I just feel like God's speaking to somebody. God knows who you are. God knows how you're getting along. He's got a plan for you. Jeremiah said, I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts of good and not of evil, that I might bring you to an expected end. He understands there's a devil out there that wants to take you to hell, but he wants you in heaven with him because he loves you. If you're here right now, the Spirit of God's speaking to you for whatever reason, you want to walk to this altar, I want to pray with you, but more than that, I believe God wants to talk to you. If you're here this morning, you want to pray, I want you to come for whatever reason. You need help spiritually, physically, financially. You need God to do something in your life. I want you to head to this altar right now. Let him touch you this morning. Let him minister to you this morning. Let him lift you up today. Come on. He loves you. Cold, indifferent Christian, he loves you. Send a friend trying to hold him at arm's length. I want you to understand God loves you, and he's not going to let up the love. He's going to keep pouring into your heart his love and his mercy. See, your walls of resistance break down and he opens his heart to you. Would you come? In Jesus' name, pray with me, church.